College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Amy Marks-Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX. It is the Billiken Blizzard tonight at Chaffetz Arena. It will be the Billikens against Dayton. It is brought to you by Summer at SLU. So we are at the Billiken Grill at the Bush Student Center at
SLU. The Grillikin.
Or the Bill Grill. So we're down here. If you want to come see us, we're going to be with you until 1 o'clock today. We are very happy to be joined now by Robbie Avila, who is on the SLU men's basketball team. Are you still? You're not really a newcomer anymore, right?
No, I think I got enough time.
Do you say newcomer?
No.
Okay.
No, because he's not 100 years old.
Well, I mean, he's new.
Here's our newcomer.
Here, new here-ish. Yeah. Anyway, so the transitions. I mean, you've been here for a while now. You feel completely settled in.
Oh, yeah. You know, like I said, the first semester was kind of, you know, the time I think that it took for me to, you know, get used to my area and get used to a new place. But I think, obviously, with the guys that we have on the team that have been here and, you know, the familiarity with Coach Church, you know, it was kind of an easy transition for me.
Had you been to St. Louis much when you decided, all right, I'm going to follow Coach Church's head to St. Louis? Was it a new city to you? Was it a bit nerve-wracking?
The only times that I actually been to St. Louis prior to coming here was when we played our conference tournament here at Indiana State the 2 years before then. And so, you know, it's only been those two times. You know, obviously I'm from Chicago, so, you know, I'm used to a bigger city, but, you know, St. Louis was almost brand new to me.
Yeah, that is a you had been here before, but you don't really get to experience a city when you're in a conference tournament, right? You're pretty much hotel, practice, play a game, and that's about it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you're kind of stuck to your schedule there. You know, obviously you're there to win games. You're not really explore the city, and so I didn't really get to get out and see anything besides, you know, the Enterprise Center and the hotel that we stood in. So I definitely wasn't used to it until now.
So for you, you had the injury at the beginning of the season. Everything seems to be perfectly fine. Any lingering effects, or you're all good?
No, I'm all good. Obviously, it was, you know, hard early on in the year, but you know, I took my time. Our training staff's got us, you know, got me ready, and you know, I'm ready to finish the rest of the season.
As an athlete, like you said, you came here not familiar with St. Louis. It's something new. That's a challenge in and of itself. But then to get hurt on that first day, how did you adjust your mentality to stay positive and to get through it?
Yeah, it was definitely hard. But I think a couple reasons. One, trusting God's plan. You know, obviously, you know, he has a plan for me and I trust him always. And then just having the guys around me, you know, they really corralled around me, showed me that they were there for me. You know, obviously Coach Church, you know, I've known for some years. And so he, you know, really put his arms around me. And so I think just the mix of those two, you know, allowed me to continue to stay positive and get ready to get back on the court.
It's college basketball, so it's not unusual to have different teammates from year to year and you have to adjust to that. But you went to a completely new program. Do you feel like it took you a little bit of time to really, you know, figure out your teammates, even though you're with the same coach? It's not like you had to learn from a different person, but you still had different teammates to deal with.
Yeah, and obviously it's definitely a process. You know, that's what I think the whole point of getting in the summer is for, is, you know, to not only just work on the, you know, the X's and O's and stuff that you're going to do on the court, but also just become closer as a team, you know, with the guys that you're going to be playing with for the next, you know, 9 to 10 months. And so you know, we really spent that time, you know, in the summer and early in the fall, and even still now, you know, really building those relationships, because we think that in order to win, you know, in order to be a really, really good team, you know, you have to be close with your teammates. You know, you got to like one another. You got to, you know, really care for one another, because that's, you know, really the strength behind a team, is when you're going out there playing for each other, not playing for yourself. And so, you know, we built these relationships, and I think we got a really strong bond on this team now.
You know, there was so much excitement for you coming to St. Louis, not only because you're just an extraordinary player and you're coming with a great coach in Josh Schertz, but you're also a lot of fun. You're fun to watch, and the nicknames add to the whole mystique of it all. Do you get a kick out of it? I mean, with Kareem Abdul and all of these nicknames, I mean, fans love it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think it's you got to have fun with it. You know, some people might, you know, take it a little bit more personally than what it is, and you know, I don't. I think it's important to have fun with things like this. You know, obviously fans are giving you nicknames because they like you.
Yeah.
And so you know, I enjoy them. It's awesome to be, you know, compared to all these, you know, NBA greats and all these nicknames. And so, you know, I have fun. I think the most fun that I have with it is just watching my friends and family, you know, enjoy it a little bit more. You know, they send me all the stuff. They send me all the nicknames, all the new ones, what these guys say. And so, you know, it's just awesome to see everybody around me, you know, get joy from me just playing basketball.
Yeah, I mean, it's endearing. That's awesome. I don't have a nickname.
Yeah, I don't either. Which one's your favorite so far?
My favorite's always going to be Rob Wave. I like my artist, but unfortunately, it's not much of a fan favorite. I'm still pushing on it, but you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is obviously the most creative
one.
That's such a good one.
The first time I heard that one, I thought, oh my God, no, come on. I don't know who did that, but
yeah,
good for you.
I found out there was somebody, it was like a writer, a sports writer from Kentucky that put it out there on Twitter, and it kind of stuck, and everybody just started reposting it, and it got all over the place. And so, yeah, it went from there.
Well, and in all seriousness, like I always say, people love a spectacle. You know, when Wayne Gretzky came to the Blues, even those who didn't watch hockey started watching, and kids pick up the sport. I really think there's something about the nicknames, the fun, the quote-unquote brand that you have, that kids could start playing basketball because they're watching the Billikens, because they're watching Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and they think it's cool. And so I do think it goes beyond nicknames to it brings new eyeballs. It brings new people to the sport thinking, this is so much fun.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Coach Schertz, you know, hits on that big with the team, you know, knowing your the profile you have, you know, knowing your platform and using it for the right way. And so, you know, we obviously want to be the best basketball team, you know, the best, you know, team in the conference, in the country, you know, whatever. But we also want to be the best people and set those examples and role models for the kids, you know, the newer generation. And so, you know, we are aware of, you know, what kind of platform we have, you know, being, you know, the basketball team in St. Louis, you know, having kids coming to watch, you know, and that's why we always try to take time, you know, before the games, after the games, you know, to sign autographs, take pictures. You know, it's important, you know, to show these kids, you know, that that we care, that we're human beings too. And so, you know, that's something big that we focus on here.
Is somebody you modeled your game after?
I think that MVP Nikola Jokic. I think.
Oh yeah.
You know,
that's not bad.
He's a good guy, but yeah.
You've been called the college Jokic, haven't you?
Yeah, a couple of times. I'm nowhere near as good as he is.
That's
but,
awesome.
No, it's awesome. But no, you know, we watch a lot of NBA clips as a team, and so you know, between him, you know, Sabonis, I watch a lot. Al Horford.
Defensively.
You know, obviously those guys. You know, I think it's really big to be able to see what a pro does. You know, so that you can try and model what they do.
All right, I'm going to ask you this. You said you're from Chicago. So you're a Bulls fan, I'm guessing. Did you grow up one?
Oh wait,
he's
hesitating.
Dude,
I'm not a Bulls fan. I'm a Warriors fan. I like the Warriors.
Okay,
I got a lot of stuff with my dad with it, but
okay,
is what it is.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I have a couple of Golden State hats. I like watching the Warriors play. They've been a lot of fun. How did that happen?
So growing up, when I first started playing, you know, the 2Ks that came out, you know, Monte Ellis was on the game. And so I really loved Monte Ellis.
Yep.
And he kind of, that's when Kurt Curry was, you know, the next coming to Monte Ellis. And then so kind of went from there.
So I was assuming that you're a Bulls fan. And my question was going to be to you, because you grew up in the LeBron era when he was the best.
LeBron.
Right? So there's always the Jordan versus LeBron debate, and I was going to ask you.
LeBron. LeBron. There's no debate.
Okay.
Ron just saying fine, but he's got tears.
Nah,
there are
okay.
tears
it's okay.
running down his face.
It's hard to accept it, but, but LeBron's number
one. It's kind of embarrassing, isn't it, Robbie, to see him cry?
It's okay.
It's okay.
Okay, I mean, it's not. It's fine. Young people are fine. Whatever.
Whatever,
you know,
I don't
I mean,
care.
Just,
you know what? I don't even know why I'm here right
now.
Yeah,
well, I don't. Okay. No, I get it. There's the combination of size and speed and strength and all of that. Nobody's ever had that before, really. Dude.
That's all right.
Okay.
It's hard to accept nowadays, but it's okay. You know, we'll move on with LeBron being number one. Jordan's a close second, though.
Close second. All right.
Is this a conversation you guys have on the team? Do you talk about stuff like this?
Yeah, we mix conversations. Our conversations go all over the place. You know, we got a lot of interesting guys on the team, mixture of some older guys and some younger guys with the freshmen. And so, you know, we just enjoy each other's presence and, you know, try to have a lot of fun.
What's one of the more interesting conversations you've had where you're sitting there going, I can't believe we're talking about this right now?
I don't know. Sometimes after games, KT gets like a burst of adrenaline and just starts, you know, wilding out. I don't know what he does. You know, he starts interacting. I missed half the convo. I'll come back from like media and he'll be like demonstrating something. And then I don't know what's going on. And then we got some of our managers that like to rap. And so they'll come in and, you know, freestyle for a little bit. And so, you know, our post games after wins are very interesting to say.
Wait, if KT's demonstrating, like, science-wise?
I don't know what he's doing. Like, he's reenacting.
He's got
like
a whiteboard.
Some motion or some story that he was telling. Like I said, I come in, like, halfway through the conversation, so I don't fully get it. But then I just know there's, like, a crowd around KT while he's, like, doing some weird things.
Who's the guy that cracks the team up? Who's the funniest?
KT's pretty funny. I won't lie. He's hilarious. I'll say Isaac. Isaac's pretty funny too. You know, we sometimes joke around. Swope's like undercover funny, just because like he won't show his emotions. Like he's one of those guys like you can't.
He's a deadpan, yeah.
Yeah, and so like he'll say something and people will laugh, but he won't laugh even though it's his own joke. But yeah, no, yeah. We got some funny guys on the team.
All right, so what are you gonna do for the rest of the day before the game?
I'm gonna relax.
Okay.
Mentally prepare. Go grab some food and call it a day.
You got a superstition, you said?
Not really a superstition before, like shoot-arounds and stuff, like the day of the game. It's really mainly like once we're done with shoot-around, I have a spot in the trainer's room that I lay down, and I just stay there until it's ready to warm up. But that's about it.
I don't know if this isn't your type of fuel or not. I used to work with the St. Louis Blues, the hockey team, and it was kind of like a Qdoba or Chipotle debate. A lot of the young guys, big Qdoba. Mm-hmm. Do you like either?
At first, I didn't like either. So Coach Hurst's wife, Miss Nat, would always get mad at me because whenever we used to go to Chipotle, I used to say, oh, I don't like it. But then I tried it once, and it actually is pretty good. And so now she gets me stuff about it all the time. But, yeah, no, I love Chipotle. Chipotle's really good.
All right.
Well, good luck tonight. You've got Dayton. Game starts at 6 o'clock. We got a pregame at 5:45, by the way. Go get them, man.
Yes,
thank you for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.